It's the beginning of a new month, and as such, it's a time for a lot of data that reflects on what transpired in the previous month. New vehicle sales were reported down 5.7% on an annual basis to 40,506 units in the month of May. Meanwhile, the ABSA PMI was also out for May. It showed that the index slid down to 45.4 points from 47.2 points in April. To break down these data for us, I'm joined on the line by Mialani Maluleke. He's an economist at ABSA. Thanks very much for joining us, Mialani. Let's start with the vehicle sales numbers. There's still this downward trend going on. What were you seeing specifically with passenger vehicle sales?
Yeah, so the passenger vehicle sales line is always a really good sense of, you know, trying to understand where the consumer market really is. Mm-hmm. And what we saw in May specifically is that that was down about 1.5%. And I think this is really not surprising, because we saw last week, when we saw the consumer confidence index, in that it was still quite weak, even though there was a bit of an improvement in Q2. And another thing that we also saw is that credit conditions, particularly for consumers, are still pretty tight. And I think in that sort of background, it's not surprising that we still continue to see passenger car sales, you know, sort of disappointing the way they are.
Mm. The rental car sector is usually quite a good one in terms of helping to keep the numbers propped up. Any aggressive activity there at all?
Yeah, so, you know, it tends to come in cycles, but, this time around, we didn't really see that come through in a really big way, you know, which is why you still saw that on a year-on-year basis, we're still down. And I think one of the things that you realize when you drill down further into the underlying data is that it's not just in the passenger car sales segment where it's mostly driven by rental firms and consumers. When you look in other categories like commercial vehicle sales, heavy commercial vehicle sales, you know, we're still seeing very big contractions in that space, which just tells you that it's not consumers that are struggling here, but businesses themselves are also being a little bit cautious in this environment.
Mm. So ABSA came out with the PMI today. It looks like the manufacturing sector is moving in reverse again.
Very disappointing. So, I mean, we're going to get the Q1 GDP data tomorrow. I think pretty much everyone agrees that it's going to be a contraction. And part of the sectors that would have driven that contraction is the manufacturing sector, which, as we would have seen from SSA data, was down by about 9.5% quarter-on-quarter annualized. Mm. So I think, to the extent that the PMI data are giving us an early indication of what the second quarter look like, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to get a really big rebound in manufacturing output.
And what sense are you getting from, the sector, the manufacturing sector? What sense are you getting about the impediments? What's holding them back from doing better?
Yeah, I have to say, and for that, we've been surprised by how disappointing the PMI data were in May, because you'll remember that the weakness that we had in February and March specifically had to do a lot with the electricity load shedding that we had. You know, we thought that, you know, with the rebound that we saw in April, we could see some consolidation of that in May. But it didn't really happen. And what manufacturers are saying is that the weakness in domestic demand seems to be what's really the big issue right now. But the other thing that they also flagged is that, you know, they're starting to see some slowdown in export orders. So perhaps an early sign there as well that, you know, this global trade wars are beginning to have some negative spillover effects domestically.
Mm, no, that's very negative indeed. And then just in terms of the change of the political dispensation, the cabinet that was announced, did it enthuse you at all? Are you more optimistic about the future?
You know, it's early, you know, political appointments, you know, is really just one thing. What we still want to see is, you know, what are the policy, you know, proposals of this new administration? And, you know, do these new ideas actually excite businesses to be a lot more confident? I think for me, that's what I'm really looking forward to hearing over the next few weeks as the new ministers settle down in their new roles.
Mm. Of course, there are lots of things that, like you say, that we have to see how things work in practice. But just in terms of the ABSA House view on economic growth for this year, what is it, especially given that the fact that the Reserve Bank has downwardly revised growth?
Yeah, so I have to say, so we're expecting a contraction tomorrow for Q1 of about 2.2%. But, you know, we've got a view that over the remainder of the year, we could see a bit of a rebound. It's not going to be a strong rebound, but, you know, a rebound is strong enough to still give full year growth of about 0.6%. But looking into next year, I think a lot of it is going to depend on, you know, what this new administration sort of delivers in terms of its policy package on reforms.
It's very interesting. The IMF came out today, always comes out with a statement every now and again, saying that South Africa needs to get its policy house in order.
Absolutely. So I think, again, you look at the statement of the IMF mission around Article 4, also emphasizing that, you know, we need to sort out our public finances. We've been, you know, accumulating debt very rapidly. We need to stabilize that. We need to look at the state of our SOCs, you know, which have really been struggling financially and operationally. We need to stabilize that. But more importantly, we need to look at how we lower the cost of doing business, particularly for small businesses, because that's really what's going to ignite economic growth.
And then you touched on the SOCs. What are your feelings around, you know, these resignations? They could be for completely separate reasons, but at very key SOEs. Do you worry about, you know, the looking for leadership? Who's going to take up those jobs? And in the meantime, how does that make us look to the ratings agencies?
I have to say, it's not very encouraging. You know, there's been talk for quite a number of years now that we were going to see SOC reform, but it's clear that, you know, it's really not coming through. And when you look at the resignation letter of, you know, the former SAA CEO, it's clear that there are some coordination problems that, you know, that we still have or in government that I think are getting in the way of meaningfully restructuring these businesses to make them a bit more sustainable. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to see if there are some new solutions from the National Treasury and from the Department of Public Enterprises in terms of trying to stabilize these SOCs, because it's really, really important for the outlook for economic growth, but also for the fiscal, because we simply can't afford to continue to bail them out.
Exactly. Mialani, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much. As always, that was Mialani Maluleke. He's an economist at ABSA. And that's all we have for you this evening. We'll have more SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb for you tomorrow evening.